All right, getting into something a little different today. We're doing a deep dive on fear-based marketing.
Ooh, sounds a bit dark.
It is a little bit, but it's everywhere, so I think it's worth exploring.
For sure, and it can be super effective.
Absolutely. We're going to be looking at Ryan Roten's newsletter, Straight Up, specifically his article, Mastering the Art of Fear-Based Marketing Without Scaring Away Your Customers.
It's a really interesting take on how fear, which we usually think of as a bad thing, can actually be used as a powerful tool to persuade.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Fear is what keeps us safe, right? It's a primal instinct.
Exactly. Roten actually compares it to adding a dash of ghost pepper sauce to a burger.
Okay, I like where this is going.
So a little bit of that fear, that spice, can make things more interesting, more exciting.
But too much, and it just ruins the whole experience.
Exactly. And that's the line that marketers have to walk.
And, you know, from a psychological perspective, fear really does work. It triggers our fight or flight response, activating the amygdala.
In the amygdala. Yeah, it's the part of our brain that processes emotions. And when it's activated, it can sometimes override our rational thought process.
So that explains why sometimes we make these kind of impulsive decisions, even if we know, logically, maybe we shouldn't.
Right, like those limited time offers. You don't necessarily need the product, but there's this fear of missing out.
Oh, FOMO.
Exactly, and that can be really compelling.
But Roten makes a really important point. He says that ethical fear-based marketing isn't just about scaring people into buying something.
It's about offering a solution, right, alongside that fear.
Exactly. Like those life insurance commercials.
Ooh, yeah, good example.
They show these heartbreaking scenes of families struggling financially after a loved one passes away.
It definitely plays on a very real fear.
Absolutely. But then they come in with a solution. Get life insurance and protect your family.
Okay, so that's a good use of fear in marketing. What are some other examples?
Well, Roten also talks about how fear is used in political campaigns, you know, highlighting those threats to security or freedom.
To try and motivate voters to choose a certain candidate.
Right. But it's not always a bad thing, this whole fear thing. I mean, think about public health campaigns that encourage people to quit smoking.
Yeah, those are often based on fear, showing the really serious health risks.
And they can be really effective in getting people to change their behavior for the better.
Absolutely. It's about using fear as a motivator for positive change, not just manipulation.
Exactly. So how do we tell the difference? How do we know when fear is being used ethically versus when it crosses the line into manipulation?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because Roten actually gives some tips on how to recognize those fear-based tactics. Things like exaggerated threats, you know, making things seem way worse than they actually are.
Right, or creating this artificial sense of urgency, like you have to act now or you'll miss out.
And then there are those us versus them narratives. We see those a lot, especially in political messaging.
Oh yeah, definitely divisive. But Roten also says one of the biggest red flags is when a message is all about fear, but it doesn't offer any real solutions.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's like they're just trying to exploit your anxieties instead of actually helping you address them.
Exactly. It's not just about being ethical. Roten also warns that overusing fear can actually backfire.
How so?
He calls it desensitization. Basically, we become so bombarded with these fear-based messages that we just start tuning them out.
Like those alarmist ads that we see all the time. We've just become immune to them.
Right. And when that happens, brands can lose their credibility. They come across as desperate or untrustworthy.
So it sounds like the key takeaway here is that fear can be a really powerful tool for marketers, but it has to be used responsibly.
Absolutely. It's a double-edged sword. Used ethically, it can motivate positive action and even drive important social change. But used unethically, it can manipulate, erode trust, and ultimately harm both brands and individuals.
I think that's a great place to pause and pick things up in the next part of our deep dive. What do you say we explore a specific type of fear-based marketing that's become incredibly prevalent these days?
Let's talk about FOMO, the fear of missing out. It's everywhere online, and it can be really powerful.
So FOMO, huh? It's kind of crazy how it plays on, like, our social instincts, you know?
Totally. It's that feeling you get when you're scrolling through social media and you see everybody else having these amazing experiences.
Yeah. Like going on awesome vacations.
Or just living these seemingly perfect lives.
Oh, yeah. Those perfect Instagram feeds definitely don't help.
Right. It's like, wait, am I missing out on something here? But Roten makes the point that FOMO isn't just about, you know, showing off what other people have.
It's about creating that sense of scarcity, right?
Yes. And urgency, that you need to act now.
Before it's too late.
Before you miss out on something special, like those flash sales with limited quantities.
Oh, yeah. Those get me every time. got to get it before it's gone.
Exactly. Even if you don't really need it, you know, it triggers that fear of missing out on a good deal. Or those only two seats left at this price notifications when you're booking a flight.
Those are the worst. So stressful.
Right. Definitely preys on that FOMO. But remember, we were talking about how ethical marketing is about offering solutions along with the fear.
Right, right. So how does that work with FOMO?
Well, think about how some brands use personalized recommendations or exclusive offers for their loyal customers.
Oh, I see. So it's like, don't worry, you won't miss out because you're special to us.
Exactly. Like giving you a VIP pass to avoid the FOMO.
I like it. Makes you feel all exclusive.
But FOMO isn't just about products and deals, right? I mean, it's kind of woven into the fabric of our digital lives now.
True. I mean, everything moves so fast online.
And we're always connected. Roten briefly mentions how fear-based tactics are used in political campaigns, and it seems like they've gotten even more sophisticated in the age of social media.
Oh, absolutely. The 24/7 news cycle, the speed at which information spreads online, it can create this constant sense of urgency, even anxiety.
It's like that old game of telephone, but on a global scale with instant updates.
Exactly. And to make matters worse, the algorithms on social media, they prioritize engagement, right? Meaning, we're constantly being shown content that's designed to trigger strong emotional reactions.
And that includes fear.
Exactly. So it can be really hard to figure out what's a genuine threat and what's just being, you know, amplified for clicks.
That's a good point. So how do we, as savvy consumers, avoid getting swept up in these fear-driven narratives? You know, the ones that seem to dominate so much of the online world.
That's the million-dollar question. It's tough, but I think one important strategy is to be more mindful of where we're getting our news from.
So being more selective about our news sources.
Exactly. Seek out sources that are known for factual reporting.
And avoid the ones that just sensationalize headlines or use really emotionally charged language to grab attention.
Right, because their goal is to keep you clicking, not necessarily to inform you accurately.
And fact-checking is more important than ever.
Oh, absolutely. Don't just take information at face value, especially if it's coming from a source you're not familiar with.
Take the time to verify claims, especially the ones that seem particularly alarming or outrageous.
It's like that old saying, trust but verify, you know?
Exactly. It's not about being cynical or disbelieving everything you read. It's about being an informed consumer of information.
Right. Thinking critically. Okay, so going back to Roten's warnings about overusing fear, what are some of the consequences for brands that just go way overboard with these tactics?
Well, he talks about desensitization, remember. Mm-hmm. That idea that we become immune to fear-based appeals if we see them all the time.
Right, like the boy who cried wolf.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Eventually, people just stop listening. And when that happens, brands lose their credibility.
They lose that ability to really connect with their audience.
Right. It can actually hurt them in the long run.
It's like they're shooting themselves in the foot.
So are there any other downsides to overdoing it with the fear?
Well, I think it can create a negative association with the brand, you know?
Like if people start to associate your brand with anxiety or manipulation.
Exactly. They're not going to want to buy your product or use your service.
So if a marketer is listening to this right now, what's the key takeaway when it comes to using fear responsibly?
It's about being authentic and empathetic. You have to understand your audience's concerns.
And offer real solutions.
Right.
That actually address those concerns.
Right. It's about building trust, not exploiting fear.
I like that. Building trust, not exploiting fear.
And remember, fear should never be the only thing driving your marketing strategy.
It should be one part of a bigger picture.
Exactly. It should be used carefully and always balanced with other positive emotions.
And values that resonate with your audience.
Right. Because ultimately, it's not about scaring people into buying your product.
It's about empowering them to make informed choices that align with their needs and values.
Exactly. And that's a much more ethical approach in the long run.
You know, at the end of his newsletter, Roten throws out this little challenge to his readers.
What's that?
He says, pay attention to the political ads that are running right now, nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
And see if you can spot these fear-based tactics.
Whoa, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good way to kind of bring it all home, how prevalent these techniques are.
It's not just about selling products, is it?
No, not at all. It really is everywhere.
Like a scavenger hunt for fear-based appeals.
Exactly. And, you know, the more aware we are of these tactics, the better equipped we are to be, you know, discerning consumers of information.
Absolutely. We can make more informed choices, whether we're voting or buying a product.
Or just, you know, navigating that constant stream of messages that we encounter every single day.
It's overwhelming sometimes.
It really is. So as we wrap up our deep dive into fear-based marketing, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this?
I think it boils down to this. Fear can be a powerful motivator, but it can be used for good or for bad.
The double-edged sword.
Exactly. When it's used ethically, it can help us make positive changes in our lives.
Right, like those public health campaigns.
Exactly. But when it's used unethically, it can be really manipulative.
It can make us feel anxious and stressed.
And it can erode our trust in institutions and even in each other.
So it's all about being aware, being critical.
And ultimately being empowered to make choices that are based on our values, not our fears.
Well said. And I think that's a great place to leave it. To our listeners out there, the next time you come across a message that makes you feel pressured or anxious, take a moment to pause and ask yourself, is this fear serving me or am I serving the fear?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that.
That's something to think about. That's all for today's deep dive. We'll catch you next time.